Blog Talk Radio.
Time we can officially say Happy New Year, and it is that time, well, not the usual time, but it's 8 o'clock, but the time it is, it's time for the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm Citizen Payne. This is the Kay Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. It's Friday evening, y'all. If you did notice, I'm sure you guys noticed, right? And it is 8 o'clock on Friday evening. Try to do it at the same time. You know, the last time we did the show, we missed out, I think, on this Wednesday because of some miscues, and we had some things that we were doing. I was involved in some things. The fellas were involved in some things, so we're kind of scrambling. And then, if any of you listened last week, I mistakenly, because of it's been a busy 2 weeks for me, having an odd pass and the funeral on a Monday. And then I think I did the show on a Tuesday, I think it was Wednesday. So, you know, it's just been 2019, y'all, has been an ordeal, a challenge for my family. So you have to forgive me. And that's why last week you didn't hear Wayne and Byron, because I went on Tuesday, and it wasn't until I read Brother Byron's text that I saw when he said, "What are we still doing the show this week?" that I realized after the fact that I had indeed done it on a Tuesday, because I was wondering why they hadn't called. It was New Year's Eve, actually, wondering why they hadn't called in. And I was like, well, maybe, you know, there's guys don't want to do it tonight since it's New Year's Eve. And New Year's Eve was not a Wednesday, it was a Tuesday, so, and all that stuff. So there you go. But it's that time. I'm going to bring Brother Byron in, and we're going to get into it because we got a lot to talk about. The historian. There
wow, Mayor Cooper. Mayor Cooper, Mayor Cooper, Mayor Maxima Cooper. And translating that into Latin for those who don't know. So forgive me for being missing in action a couple of days like you detailed it.
Is that actually what it means? I never took Latin. That's actually what Mayor Cooper means.
Yes.
Forgive me for missing in action.
For missing and forgive me for my faults.
my faults. Okay. See,
yes.
Brother Byron Saunders,
Well, hey, when you go to Catholic school, they teach you Latin, so you know the root of the so-called Romantic languages, and from there you can either take it in French, Spanish, and for those who want to go above the Romantic countries, you go to the Celtic islands of Ireland and Scotland and Great Britain, and then you can go, well, anyway, enough of that. Yes, here we are, 2020.
Looking at the European slant of the Romantic languages and all of that. But
anyway,
that, like you said, that's a different story.
That's another whole story.
Interesting how the world over, the things we
equate
from education, you know, how that influences there the world over. And
Eric, I got a question for you. I have a serious question for you because, I mean, today, you know, the Treasury Department released its figures on the economic forecast.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the stock market, January the 10th, 2020, closed above the record-making setting of 29,000. Put that in your pipe for a second and just tweet on that. We closed above 29,000, first time ever. But the jobs report only reported 145,000 jobs. There's something extremely wrong when we were sold a bill of goods saying that corporate America, trickle-down theory again, economic voodoo stuff, that they were going to get a tax break which bust the budget for almost another $1 trillion. They're telling us that there's great economic news, but you can only create 145,000 jobs?
Yeah, What are you going to do?
It's amazing why you're just pissing all over me.
Yeah, right? I mean, because there's so, I was going to say there's so many angles to that particular, you know, that particular plot line. You know, do we, is somebody pocketing the surplus that's made clearly from the infusion of the tax money that they're being able to save? And so the jobs that they were supposed to create, it's only 145,000. They were supposed to create a lot more since the stock market closes so much higher, the highest in history. Or,
and
so that would lead us to the conclusion that the jobs market during the Obama administration, who really is responsible for the improved economy, is a slow and steady pickup, not a rapid ascension like they tried to sell, tried to sell as this tax break would do. So basically, the same amount of jobs are being created as Obama was there. So they sell the barrel of goods that they're going to be able to create a whole lot more. So I'm wondering, where's the surplus of resources that went into creating a whole lot more? Yeah, there's a whole lot of ways we got to look at, keep our eye on these people, not to mention the old Republican playbook of create a diversion or a war, as it were, to distract from the fact that you probably really didn't get in office thoroughly right and exact. Let's bring in the newsman, Wayne Gilman, who, you know, covered that stuff from a news and objective perspective. And his eye to see through the bullshit is quite, you know, has had a number of years being sharpened. So what's going on, Wayne? How you feeling, brother?
Yeah, I'm hanging in here trying to put up with all the machinations of what this administration is coming up with. And, you know, in all honesty, as you all said before, it's just a lot of smoke and mirrors. There's one set of books that he wants the public to see, you know, to feel, to give this Joseph Goebbels address that, oh, we're doing well. And then there's reality. And unfortunately, since he comes from reality TV, he hasn't even gleaned any of the memos that he took to become the success he once was doing that nonsense, and that's it. He knows how to capitalize it on the campaign trail. You know, he talks a lot of nonsense. I would like to, you know, be as guttural and scurrilous, but I've learned now to my old age that any time I want to curse, I'm going to use the word shampoo. But, you know, I'm just so sick of his nonsense. You know, it's just so despicable about what goes on. And I feel for you, Byron, because you live within a stone's throw of where he walks. You share the same airspace that he shares. You know? And if I lived near Lincoln Park, I would probably set that place on fire, because half the stuff that goes on is just unfathomable. Today's news conference was a joke. The meeting with the members of the Senate yesterday about what the attack and what was the evidence for that was a joke. Everybody can see it's a joke but him and his supporters. And what really bothers me the most is that there is an element of fear among white folks who are afraid of giving up their supremacy. And this could drive us to the drink to the brink of total destruction. I'm so proud that the Iranian government has put together a discrimination conference. I don't know if you know about that, where they're inviting black folks from the United States to attend. They're actually flying in one black family, victims of police brutality, to talk about the nonsense.
Lincoln, we're hearing a lot of background noise there, so I don't know if it's one of you guys is kind of trying to get settled or stuff like that, but that's starting to affect the sound is
quality. I hope
a little
not.
Bit, but that's go ahead.
No, I was just saying that I'm just glad that the Iranian government has decided to put together this discrimination conference. And I, as a person of color, at this lofty age of my life, would not have fear going to Iran, because they get it. They see what goes on in this country, and they realize the problem is Trump. And the same way that Trump was able to come up with this masterful plan to take out Soleimani, who's to say that there isn't some proxy here looking to that vulnerable moment? And there have been moments. You never know. I'm not espousing tit for tat, but, you know, there's been enough that's come out of the nation's capital in the last 3 years that would be, you know, people would find that, you know, there's some people here that feel that they would not have to worry about sleeping if, God forbid, something that were to happen, you know. And that's
I mean, you know, act of God or whatever. I mean, I think what you're referring to is when you said, you know, there's proxies here. They've been having proxies here. That's the whole thing about it. I mean, we are not secure, and we're not secure enough to have that type of mentality that he represents and that he brings. It's just an ignorance. It's not trying to. It's not an approach. I mean, he's not the dude that's just trying to make peace. He's the hate monger. He's the evil guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's clear because you're not trying to make peace with anybody. You're trying to. I mean, his objective clearly from day one has been to instill division. I mean, when he chose to become a part of the public debate, you know, other than being, you know, a businessman and an entertainer and a personality. When he chose to start making comments about Barack Obama and his birther, jump on that when that has been disproven, and it was just something that was insulting to even suggest, and it was clearly one of those idiotic conspiracy theories about him. But just for Trump, I mean that's how he came into the public sphere. I mean in terms of public debate and politics, he came in accusing the first African American president. Of not being a citizen, not being one of us, one of them.
Right.
He came in adopting the white supremacist, the Nazi party. Came in adopting that school of thought. You know, that's how he established himself on the public stage. So why should we expect that this man, who basically believes in racism, who basically revealed himself to be that, and if you look into his family history, that's always been there. We just never really paid that close attention to it. Until it became into the public realm, like it did when his father was discriminating against people, and the Justice Department came and came down on them. His other stuff has been illegal, you know, con man shit, you know, con man stuff that he's gotten sued for over the years, not paying bills and blowing contractors off, little guys, and paying people no money. You know, that's white collar, what is that, crime corporate abuse or whatever it is, but it was never something that was going to make its way into the public sphere where you see who this man really is. You know, I mean, I'm interested to, and I'm going to put up a question on my Facebook page, how many people had a different opinion, or really how many people thought favorably of Donald Trump before he became president, before he started making his political thoughts known? I had a favorable opinion of him. I was a fan of The Apprentice. And you guys remember, a lot of times I would say, I don't think he's a racist. I think he did this and that. And the man has proved to me that clearly you must be a racist because you're doing things that you know are considered racist, that can be, or actions that are a racist take. So clearly that must be really what you believe. If you get around them and you try to rile them up, trying to say you're one of them and all this other stuff, that must be what you believe. And that's what a lot of people, that's what I find the press and the Democratic Party, they're soft selling that. If you make it plain, if you have birds of a feather flock together, right? So if you're hanging around with your friends that believe in kicking people like you in the head, you know, when they're not looking, then perhaps I might think that you're that type of person that likes to kick people in the head when they're not looking, because you're hanging with all the cats that do that. And if you're not one of the ones that partake in that activity, certainly you condone and approve of that, because you still hang with them when they do it, and you laugh with them when they talk about it, and you encourage them to do it some more. So clearly, I have no other choice to believe that your actions are anti those people, because you down there see them get kicked in the head every 5 minutes. And that's who he is. And once the Democratic Party and the press stops playing, you know, look how long it's taking them to call a lie, you know? I mean, we're kind of getting sidetracked with the history, because clearly the whole thing of the war is the same thing that George Bush did with the war. when it was getting felt that, that he didn't kind of stole the election, right? Trump came in just under all of that, right? But still, same thing. He saw what Bush and them did. Let's start a war. I'm being impeached.
Yeah.
Let me start a war. That'll make me look good, certainly to my supporters. It'll take. I think it'll take some pressure off of me. And now, as they make up this backstory to support their reasoning for that, because everybody knows what they did, these guys are lying to people's face. I mean, if you're a normal thinking person, you know when somebody's lying to you. You look at Pompeo speak, you know he's lying. You know,
oh,
but that gray that gray area, that loophole area that's inherent in government and bureaucracy, that these guys and in the law system, in our legal system, you know.
Well, I tell you, and Eric, not to cut you off, but I mean the one thing that really bothers me is that somebody, I think it was D.L. Hughley or someone, was able to resurrect a comment from Trump about 4 years ago, just before he ended the contest. And he was bad-mouthing Obama, talking about how he felt that he was going to start a war with Iran just to seek just to win the election, you know, for a second term. I mean, actually,
yeah, they got
you know,
tape of that. You can look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, you know, and I'm just saying, man, it is just amazing how he turned around and actually carried out what he had accused Obama of threatening to do. So, I mean, the man has no principles. He's lost. He's lost.
Yeah.
He and his orange self, you know. I'm just taken back by what I see.
Yeah, I mean,
no, very disturbing.
Go ahead, Byron.
Very disturbing. Also very disturbing. Getting back to Washington D.C. and the look that you all are witnessing with the Treasury Department, and ask yourself the question: why would the Treasury Department Secretary come out with the State Department Secretary to talk about the devastation that was enacted on this Iranian general, and then talk about the sanctions? I want to say this with all due respect to the two gentlemen, Mnuchin and Pompei. Pompei is former head of the CIA.
Yeah,
he is the State Department. He is the State Department diplomat. They are two opposites of the governmental sector of how we govern it. One is created through black ops and secret intelligence agency. The other one is supposed to be the front line of goodwill and diplomacy. Yet, instead of the Joint Chief of Staff coming out to give you an update on the tactics, the military tactics taken to what they say is to protect our security, you bring out, instead of the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to give an update on military tactics, you put out Pompei and Mnuchin. Fellas, this is a shell game.
It is.
Let's be very honest about the optics of what is being perpetrated here.
Right. Isn't the Secretary of State is above the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Is that how the order of succession works?
The Joint Chiefs of Staff is what's controlling the Pentagon.
Right, the military.
Right, I know that. But I'm saying this, as responsibilities fall, it's the Secretary of State and the Department of Defense and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, all of that is under the purvey of the Secretary of State, is it not? You know what I mean? In terms of list of responsibilities and job duties.
It is not. It is not, because one is engaged with national security and the other one is engaged in diplomatic goodwill.
Diplomacy. Diplomacy.
So,
right.
Well, I mean, the deal is he's still part of the executive branch, I mean, in terms of,
yes,
of working.
No doubt.
You know,
yeah.
Right. So it's like there is a thin line between that, but I do understand what you're saying, you know, but it just saddens me that even, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you know, his Colin Powell has come back and is repeating basically the same rhetoric that the president wants done, so they could have a consistent statement for Americans to swallow, and it's wrong. You know, I mean, you can't
and,
have this crap.
And it points
know?
Up some, and it points up something very, very dangerous to this so-called democracy. You have an actual coup d'etat right now of a military-style takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
This is not a reality game. This is the real deal.
Right.
And he has instigated. That's why he has instigated a world war situation. Dwayne and Eric, the Pentagon Joint Chiefs of Staff play this game every day, 24/7, 365.
Right.
They run. They don't do anything but run wartime scenarios.
Right.
Right.
Now, exactly.
With the scenario being given to us right now. All right, what happens if we take out the head of the number two man in Iran? Oh, let's just play that game. You saw the game. You saw the movie War Games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a game that they play 24/7, 365, and they're playing a game with us right now because at the point at which was it beneficiary to take out the number two man? No, but if we do it, we can figure out how Iran's going to act upon putting them under a squeeze. This is more
now,
of an extortion type of diplomacy that this government, our government, is impacting. Why is it that another Ukrainian airplane is shot down? Is that an accident?
Right.
God, Wayne Gilman, you were a newsman. Wayne, you were a newsman back in the day, and I'm sure that you reported on the Star Wars technology that was engaged in this country's security system.
Right.
And what was the Star Wars technology supposed to do? Wasn't it supposed to shoot down by laser technology incoming?
Exactly. I mean,
right.
They've been so
ICBMs.
Far ahead as far as AI technology is
Thank
concerned.
You
know,
this is
I mean,
not new technology. It's old.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
And here's the other thing. We already know that the cyber games, the cyber hacking that the United States CIA engaged in to deter Iran in its quest for nuclear weapons at a high-end operation.
Mm-hmm.
The dirty tricks that our government did to play cyber hacks to Iran's quest for nuclear weaponry by way of nuclear power. This is a game that they're engaged in.
Back and forth,
now,
you know.
Back and forth. Now, do you know that there was an earthquake in Tehran that same day?
Oh, no kidding.
The day the plane went down? That's right. That's right. And the triggering effect. Now, let's just say it's an accident. Let's just say for purpose of it, war brings accidents like this, where you can imagine the Iranian said turn off all other stuff to make sure the United States is not being stealth up weaponry and missiles to blow up any of our targeted targets. You know, don't think we're the only ones playing war games. So they say, well, let's turn off the system. Let's turn off the system to make sure they're not about to do a preemptive strike. So a Ukrainian plane takes off from Tehran airport on its way, five stops a week. This is no new flight. Five stops a week.
Right.
From Tehran to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and oops, the moment happened. Okay, it was an accident. But let's go beyond the accident because my pastor once told me there's no such thing as accident. Everything is of order is in human either having done it,
Here's my theory.
The United States federal government, the United States Secret Service, the United States CIA are all engaged in this because they already made it known that they saw the rockets launched. Who launched it? Did we launch it or did they launch it? Because if we've been playing cyber hacks, I can tell you right now. I I can ask a friend of mine who lives out of state in New Jersey to be my administrator on my computer if I have some technological crap on it, and I say, I'm going to turn it over to you to be an administrator so you can go ahead and get into my system.
Right, right.
And if he can do it, why wouldn't the... That, now, what's more plausible, the conspiracy or the accident? Because this is a government who our leaders are lying to us every single day.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's, but I mean, here's my my perspective about stuff like that. It's all a conspiracy because it's all lies from day one. So everything after the first lie is suspect, right? So and this is, remember what I've been saying is like. It's a race. Can he put enough people who are down with him to be down with his coup in place before the real, before the true Americans and the true patriots are able to keep it from going that far? I mean, I don't think that in terms of him perpetuating the supremacy aspect of things, that he's doing anything different than like a George Bush or any one of their other presidents that have come along from that party and that philosophy. What he is doing, though, is that he's sacrificing even their stuff for his own goals and his own, selfish, narcissistic needs, and he cares nothing about it. So he's turning their own game, flipping it to the point where it's flipping back over on them. Just like, oh, let me start a war because I'm getting into some shit. I get some stuff. I saw Bush do it. They decided to start a war on 16 lying words, and then when other people tried to, and that was really when Fox, really during the Bush administration, if you remember, when Fox came to the forefront of being a really dominant news organization, because that's when they began to be the conservative news network, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really when they came to fruition, and Cheney and them, you know, and if you went against them, they did, I mean, that administration did similar things in terms of character assassination. Look what they did to Joseph Williams' wife, Valerie Plame. I mean, he tried to get her killed, right? He tried to out her, and why else are you going to out an operative that we have, a clandestine operative, unless you're trying to get them injured? Why would you do that unless you're trying to silence them in some way? And the vice president is doing that of all people and doing that. Just like Trump, fast forward to Trump and these guys. We want to know who the whistleblower is. Why? Because you're trying to get people killed? Because you're trying to get instigated? You've already done it before. You've instigated violent actions by your words, by your impressions that you're giving people, by things you literally said at your campaign rallies about what you'd like to do, inflicting physical violence on someone. So why should we believe that you wouldn't resort to these tactics as well? You've been lying all this time. Now he wants to invoke executive privilege if Bolton decides to testify. Why? And the only people who believe this guy are people who are really stupid, or people who have are lying like him and are risk going to jail or getting found out. And the people who are blinded by their hatred, because any reasonable person can see this man's a liar and he's not to be trusted. And if they want to play the risky game, if I'm going to ride with this criminal until, because I'm a criminal too, and we right now we're on the same objective and the same path, and then when, you know, it's time to jump off and we have to face off against each other, I'll deal with it at that time. But that's a dangerous game you play. You know, no honor among thieves.
Well,
so,
I tell you,
you know,
Eric,
for me,
really
it's all lies.
And, you know, it what really gets to me is that when history looks back at this, all this stuff is being memorialized. And when you look at what they did and what the Republican Party stood for back then, back as to say we are fast forwarding 50 years from now. And Lord only knows if we're going to be on the planet 50 years, if we still have this republic democracy here, you know. But the bottom line is, you know, their stories are going to be etched in stone. It's going to be like Mount Rushmore. You know, what they did, they did nothing. It was so apparent that they had a Hitler in charge, and they chose to do nothing. The Lindsey Grahams, the Mark Rubios.
Mm-hmm.
The Ted Cruz's, all these guys were in lockstep.
Yeah.
There was no independent thought. There was no, you know, there was no respect for the Constitution. They don't give a damn.
Right.
It's despicable.
It is. And I think there's going to be, because of what information is now and how it's transmitted and shared and relayed and documented, I think, unfortunately, that there's going to be almost as much of the alternate facts that are going to go down in history as much as the actual facts. I call them lies, not alternate facts. If you're not saying the facts, you come up with something else, it's just a lie. So it's not an alternate fact, but you know, they work hard at it. Look at America. America has rewritten her history, has presented a public image, has created a myth of who they are. You know, and every step of the way, we as black people, the older you get and the more you've learned about, and if you come from people who really know the history and they're going to share it with you, every step of the way, you're learning, you know, that the truth about this country and the devastating and despicable things that were done in the name of the system of oppression that a lot of people of one race operated under and enjoyed. You know, I'm just comparing my thought to, like, I have a real problem with the Star Spangled Banner now, man. Mm. I have a real problem with the song because it was written by a guy who was promoting, you know, the stanza where it talks about a hurling slave and whoever better run for cover or whatever. It was something that was promoting the continued oppression and the continued practice of slavery. And this is the man who wrote this song. He was a proponent of that, at least at the time he wrote the song, because that's why he put it in there. And now you people are going to tell me I have to stand and raise my hand and put it over my heart to a song written by someone whose mission in the song was to state that people like me should be kept down? No.
Thank you.
And before learning this and it being brought to my – I never knew this. I sang, oh, I'm American. I'm like, I love when you hear the song. We're on the football game. Ah, it's the love. And what? And then I learned that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every step of the way, America, I'm mad at you because you've reminded me that I'm your second-class citizen. You try to remind
me
that I'm less than. Everything I find out and I pull another layer back, there's that history that you have. And so as I see that hatred being continued through these 400 years, I understand that there's Americans who've been fighting for our freedom and oppression of both races, of those who look like the slave masters, who weren't evil like those people and those who weren't. But where does the reason come? And it never comes.
That's
so I don't expect it anymore. It's not going to come. Y'all ain't going to give it, so I don't expect it. And so this man is a liar. He's going to continue to be a liar, and you all people support it, so I don't expect nothing from you. But here's what I'm going to do when you come trying that over here. And here's the moves. You're not even going to know the moves I'm going to make it. You know what I'm saying? I see how y'all are doing. You know? So, you know, we live our lives accordingly. But, I mean, it's just, you know, this was we've been lulled to sleep over these 30, 40 years, right?
Because
we thought we've made a certain amount of progress. And now here they come trying to take us back to 1953 and make it a plane. You know, the dude is saying it from the White House. And he's an idiot. This guy is an idiot. I mean, we thought George Bush was an idiot. At least he had the respect of.
Oh,
at least he had the respect and example of pomp and circumstance and the tradition of being in government, the tradition and procedure and customs of being an elected official. At least he understood what that meant, even if it was to the very core base of. This is how we're showing them this, but we're not really like that. You know, we're fronting this off. This is not really who we like. But at least they honored, let's give the image of the American. You know, let's sell the dream,
right.
I guess is what I'm saying. Let's continue to sell the dream. This guy ain't even trying to sell the dream. He tried to sell you a used car.
No, oh no. And the sad part about it is that you would never think that there were so many people who were, and maybe it's my ignorance or my lack of really being realistic about the situation, because these hawks were always there. John Bolton didn't just come out of nowhere. He's been around for a long time. Rudolph Giuliani, when he ran the city of New York, his behavior was decadent, you know, from the time he took office and just before. You know, all these people have managed to come together, and it's just massive. in a way, it is masterful how Trump has managed to get all of his cronies together to operate lockstep and hoodwink the rest of the Republican Party to follow his lead, you know. But, you know, chickens have come home to roost now. We were on the precipice, and I still believe we're on the precipice of war. Just because they dialed it down a little bit doesn't mean anything, you know?
Yeah, you're right. It's the precipice that's dangerous, Wayne and Eric, as you're pointing out clearly, is that the accident is more prevalent than the orchestrated chaos that they're trying to create. And the accident will get us all into a Armageddon situation.
Right. But you said the accident is more prevalent.
Yeah.
You said the accident that is creating by their attempt to create chaos, they just they're trying to make a little firecracker and they make it a M80 is what you're saying.
A big boom. Yeah,
not knowing what they're doing.
Exactly. That's
you know?
It. Because I mean, it blew up in their face. As I said, the scenario of the accident pushed the guy in the booth pushing the button of a SAM missile. To air missile and shot down Ukrainian airplane after taking off from Ukraine from Tehran, going back to Baghdad is just to say it's an accident.
No. First
you
thing
know,
I said was, that's
right.
Real convenient.
Yeah.
The war
Thank
and
you.
That's real convenient that it happens right about now. Wow, that's really convenient.
And here's
that's why it's a lie. That's why you know that.
That's right. And the second thing that's really bugs me, like you went there, Eric, and I'm going to co-sign on what you said. The thing that really bugs me is the arrogance of these white men by planning and exercising hell on people of color. It's race-based.
That's all it
is. It's a racist concept that they're operating under, and they're pushing an agenda that is right-wing. And for whatever purpose that these right-wing fanatics have engaged in the government of the United States is that their modus operandi is to exterminate people of color. And I'll tell you, they will never, ever drop the bomb on a white European nation. This country has dropped the bomb once. And hold on, I don't say this because let me tell you, this country has dropped the bomb not once but twice. Was it really necessary to drop the second bomb when you just wiped out 100,000 people in the first bomb?
Oh, hell, heck no.
What are you talking about? Which bomb are you talking about?
Nagasaki and Hiroshima. See, because it wasn't necessary to drop the second bomb. So we hold that against the world. We have been holding that piece of bully pulpit over the world ever since we did it. And we're saying to you, we'll do it to you. Play by our rules. So, Ryan, we don't want you to have a nuclear bomb, although Israel has one and is threatening you every single day. So where is the balance in that?
I firmly believe that if there was conflict in the Middle East now and Iran was to be provoked to the point of war, Israel could hang it up. Regardless of the superiority of the American Air Force or what have you,
Israel
is
in
a very vulnerable spot.
They always have been, and that's why they have a nuclear bomb. They have nuclear operative weaponry. Make no mistake about it. How much we give them annually? We give them not just money. We give them weaponry.
That's part of the United States right there. No disrespect. It is.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and that supremacist perspective, obviously, it's not only here in the United States. Clearly, you know, when they decided those years ago to carve up Africa and which European nations were going to get which countries in Africa, so it's been a supremacist, white supremacist that all over the world have had that perspective, and it's dictated their foreign policy about how they dealt with nations of color. Right? It's like you said, they had no problem dropping that bomb twice because there's a different mandate for how we're going to deal and a different way we look at countries of color. So therefore, there's the humanity that we have to extend or that one would naturally feel, the empathy is not there because they're looking at nations of color with a different perspective, with a different, I don't know, not even humanity or empathy, you know. So that dictates their foreign policy. Of course you're going to drop a bomb. Of course you're going to send stuff. Of course, you know, I mean, how many Americans, including me, can really say, why have we been in the Middle East for so long? Why are we all tangled up there? You know, I have yet to see the beginning of what put us there. And we all know it's resources, really. You know, we'll get told other things, and then whatever history books that might even discuss it, there's going to be some lie in there. But we know clearly there must be something that we want to be on that side of the world.
Right.
If there's something we want, then we've got to either, you know, then we have geopolitical interest in it. There's something we want over there.
Well, it's the oil, it's the natural resources. You
exactly,
know,
something
gold,
we want. That's what I'm saying.
They have the deal, we want
their resources or whatever their riches of their country can provide. We want it. We're going to go get it. And we present and make up and fabricate and develop a foreign policy that helps us get our objective. But, you know, maybe we're looking a little bit imperialistic. Maybe we're looking a little bit like we want to be a nation that just take over other countries. So we need to change our foreign policy or the public profile of our foreign policy to look like we're spreading freedom and joy and democracy
the
world.
Yeah.
And if we really were, then right on. And there's some instances where it has worked under certain administrations. But clearly... Mm-hmm. There's more stuff going on over there than us just helping them get their squabbles together or helping Israel try to be a free nation or whatever it is. Why are we over there? Isn't there a couple of oceans that separate us? What's our interest there?
Well,
it must be something we want. It must be something we want over there.
It's the resources, you know. And,
you know, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know.
That's
maybe
what I'm talking about.
Maybe there might be some 25 versions over there that we could take advantage of with all.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound
I'm
sexist,
just talking about the reason
but,
we're there.
You know,
they have some we want. Of course, it's the resources, the minerals of the nations. That's why we do that all over the world. You know, but it's my point is it's guided by self-interest.
That's
not
it.
Guided because
that's
you want
it.
To be benevolent and in most
well,
cases, and certainly with these neocons, you know, these guys, you know, and if somebody, just like when Newt Gingrich he tried to mention something about Obama or some people having a Kenyan anti-colonial thing. It's like, and everybody, you know, and they try to promote how bad that was, that had that anti-colonial. I'm like, wait a minute. Depending on your perspective, the colonists might not have been the heroes in this story. You know, maybe those colonizers in those particular nations were doing what colonizers have done from the negative aspect and thinking you need to come and create a colony to a society that already has and is functioning and living. That's the first line of arrogance that you're coming across with. But, you know. You know,
well, Gingrich,
you have to
say that he needs a reality course to sit before
right.
because I tell you the height of hypocrisy a few months ago was when he was on The View and had the stones to actually say that the slavery of Italian Americans in this country was worse than what black folk went through.
Right, because that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I stood there and I couldn't believe that came from the man's lips. You know?
Of course.
Slavery
but
slavery regardless.
Yeah. We're not talking about this. I mean, and he says things like that. They say things like that all the time. It's not the what they're saying. It's the audacity that you have the nerve to try to rewrite history and think people are going for it. That's like an emperor. That's a godlike complex. No, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to make this the reality. That's not what happened.
This is what's happening.
You're going to believe it, and when you question me, I'm going to crush you, and I'm going to act as if you're an enemy of this utopian society that I'm talking about, that I claim I created, which I didn't really. I did the opposite. You know,
right.
I'm claiming I'm godlike, but I'm really devilish, doing devilish stuff. And they're flipping it. They're making themselves the good guys and us the bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's the infuriating thing. It's like, wow, accusing the Democrats of the exact things that they're doing. They were doing that during the impeachment trial. The Republicans were doing it. Nunez is sitting up there trying to be in judgment of people when he was you know, come to find out he was doing some of the shaky stuff.
Oh, he was, his pants were so wet, I swear.
Yeah,
you know,
man. So, you know, the, it's just a gangster mentality that these guys have.
Yeah, it is. It's,
I didn't mean to come off
sad,
that way,
very
but,
sad.
You know.
Well,
you
know, we have a situation that's about to hit the fan. Let's just say it's going to shift gears next week because Nancy Pelosi today announced that she will bring the impeachment to the Senate for a trial. What's interesting is that over the last 18 hours, I would say even less than 18 hours, three Republicans have, and even Matt Gaetz from Florida, stepped across the line and said, wait a minute, we got to put a hold on the president's war powers, which I found Matt Gaetz of all the confrontational people.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that.
Right?
Yeah.
So the horse trading is ongoing. Will Bolton testify? I don't care if Bolton testifies or not. If they go by the Clinton formula for impeachment, as Mitch McConnell has engaged and said we must follow, then let's be very clear. Clinton testified. I don't want to hear Bolton. I want Donald James Trump
Trump
to testify,
right? Yeah.
Yep. Period.
But he'll turn that
everybody
into a circus.
Well, yeah, but we can see that's just it. We want the circus. Give him the circus. He wants the Academy Award. Let him play it out because he's going to get his butt burned seriously sitting there and trying to convince the American public that he's not lying after 4,000, 8,000 lies. Oh, my God, there's so many lies that he's told. Because Peter and the wolf, we already know the end of this story.
Yeah,
okay?
And I hope Shifty Shift is right there asking the questions, you know? Because, I mean, the deal
Adam
is
Schiff.
The man is,
they call him Shifty Shift. He's not Shifty, man.
Oh, please, man.
I
get so
irritated
when I hear that.
Bro. He's on our side.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
The man,
don't do their talking points.
The man can walk on water as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's the reincarnation of Elijah Cummings, man. You know,
the great legislator.
Well, you know?
Yeah.
The right gentleman from California.
Next week is going to be fun, all right? You're going to enjoy next week's every 30-minute break, because that's how it's going to happen. Okay.
I'm trying to bring myself to watch what Fox's take on all this, but I don't know. I just get to the point where I can't even put that on DVR anymore. You know, it's just...
it's something close to reality, but you could just, I mean, I've tried to watch Fox a number of times, you know, just, you know, I'm like, you know, try to open up and say, okay, let me see what the other side is talking. But it's just such an obvious slant, you know, and it's really an obvious hard sell that, you know, it's not news. You keep trying to editorialize, and even the words you use, and you know, I think what they go on is like I said, that people's hatred making them ignorant. Because if you really listen to what they're saying, you know, I mean, I could watch the Democrats try to say certain things about Trump if I don't agree with it. You know, I'm going to be like, that's you know, like the whole, like we talked about before, the whole locker room conversation on the bus about grabbing the women when the Democrats tried to stake out the position like it was a Republican thing, only Republican man. It's like, come on, now you sound stupid to everybody. It's across the board, all guys do this, Democrats, Republicans. Don't try to make that an issue that separates us from him, because half you dudes on the other side of the aisle doing the same thing. So it's stupid to try to make that an issue like we're going to come down on this guy for that. Let those who make it, let the women make that an issue, because they're the only ones that can speak to that with any type of credibility. But you can't just jump on the thing and say it's all – that's why Al Franken had to go down, right? That's why he had to go out so hard. He was obviously getting out of control a little bit of some of the things he would do. But, you know, that kind of wacky stuff happens in that environment, unfortunately. But, you know, he had to – the other cats didn't step down, right?
Well, that's at least Franken –
and so we shoot ourselves in the foot trying to be, you know.
I'm not saying I was a big fan of Al, but, you know – It happened while he was in his comedic role, at, you know, doing something entirely different. You know, I mean, and But he was on point on a lot of issues that needed to be
mm-hmm.
articulated, and he was a voice that is sorely missed now to a certain
yes,
extent.
Absolutely.
And I wonder, you know, I mean, this the young lady from New York who led the brigade against him, our
Gillibrand.
Beloved U.S. Senator Gillibrand up here, you know, I mean, I just wonder basically – did you win anything? And Lapdog Schumer, I mean, not to say that I have anything entirely against him, but the fact that he felt that this has got to be, you know, a tit for tat thing, that you have to show, we have to show that we are beyond the pale whenever, you know, to me, two wrongs don't make it right. I understand that. But you have to also look at the fact that these Republicans don't fight clean. They fight dirty. And if we need to have people who can be articulate and resonate with a certain level of the electorate out there to just get the points across, you know, we don't need to be taking those folks out, you know? And that's it. And I think some of these guys, I think to a certain extent, I'm not a big Steyer fan, but you know, there should be some term limited, you know, in terms of members of Congress. You know, at least
but here's the thing,
two or three terms, and that's it.
Here's the thing, though. When do you begin that? You know, do you begin it during a Republican-dominated House or a Democrat? When do you begin that? That's the whole thing about term limits.
Yeah.
Usually people – usually it's promoted and, you know, other than independents. But usually, you know, it's something that people that are out of power promote. If Tom Steyer was member of the party and he was and they were doing good, you know, is he going to still call for term limits? And also, too – Does term limits help us get to a progressive place? If we put the country, say, okay, Obama's in there, the country's on footing, the economy is coming back, we're on the right path in terms of doing the best thing for the broadest cross-section of Americans, and then term limits set, the Republicans get to come in, and there's that $1 trillion tax cut. There's the rollback on the environment.
Yeah,
there's
the
rollback, you know. So term limits are good if everybody's going, you know, it's like talk about the honor system. Honor system is great if everybody's going to be honorable.
Honorable,
you
that's
know?
It. And,
but,
and we know
the
that.
Problem, the problem with this is, like, everybody ain't honorable in this. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Practicality does not always equal morality. Right.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Right.
So.
All right.
So
well,
the moral
here's
thing.
The question for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. So give us the moral thing, because I got the question following up.
No,
on
I was
going
to say the moral thing was for Al. I mean, you know, maybe it was morally right for Frankie to step down, but why ask him? Like you said, Wayne, why ask him to do something that his Republican counterpart, who was accused of saying,
is not willing to do?
Didn't do.
Yeah.
Because thank God we still had a Democrat that was elected in there. Cool.
Uh-huh.
You know, but what if that hadn't been an easily winnable seat by a Democrat? You know,
right.
I mean, so are we going to cut our nose off the spider? I know we want to present like they were going in on Bill Clinton. Okay, not perfect, and what
mm-hmm.
he did was jacked. But here's the job he's doing. His job performance is good, and yeah, next time let's get this guy out of here or whatever. But we still need him on the team, and that ain't a foul. Because the rules we're playing by, if it was a foul, then their team member would be out the game too. So,
yeah.
On basketball, football, you let the different basketball, the different starting five, second five, you got to match up your squad.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Here's,
and even though,
here's the magic question, Eric. Here's
go
the
ahead.
Magic question. All right. Why then should I vote for a now declared candidate who's a billionaire who perverted the system? And paid for a third term by perverting the system in New York to buy himself a third term as mayor. Why would I want
pervert,
to vote
he's
for
good at perverting the system,
hold on,
man? Because
hold on.
you know the reason why.
Well,
because I like your moral position. I'm going to go with it. Okay.
He's already been perverted by the dude that's already there now. So why not?
That's what,
they got
that's
that billionaire.
Exactly.
I'm on my billionaire.
see, I like the moral high ground, as you say. Let's do the high ground, but then we have to cut the cancer out where the cancer lies, okay?
Yeah,
yeah, you know,
well, don't
I mean,
even
you know.
Mention that word. You know, but I hear exactly what you're saying. You know,
we're beating
it.
And
look at the landscape now. Come again? I'm sorry, man.
I said we're beating it. We're beating it, bro. We're beating it.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
your team is beating it, bro. So there you go.
That's
well,
right.
I don't know. But
like your West Indian brethren say, forward ever, backward never.
Never.
Never. That's right. Yeah, man.
Oh boy, I can hear
but
Marcus
go ahead,
Garvey
what you were
going to
say, Wayne? Go ahead, what you were
no,
going to say?
I'm just, yeah, I was just curious as to your thoughts, both of you, about the Democratic landscape now in terms of the impending debate to come up this week as well.
Oh boy.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they have an agenda that's going to be very confrontational even for them, and that is the People's House impeached this person. Whether the Senate does its judiciary and fiduciary responsibility, that's on the Senate. You tag this dog with the empty soup cans on his tail, because wherever he goes, he's going to be clanging. And you need to attack him every which way you can, period.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what they should be focusing on in debate instead of getting, if they go after each other, it should be policy, slight policy differences, but it has to be brought to everybody's attention, hammered home, just like a product. That's why we see commercials every 5 minutes on a TV show we're watching, hammered home and reiterate, this man has lied, this man has done illegal things while in office, he has put people's lives at stake just to make himself improve his standings politically.
Oh,
and every step of the way, it has to be reiterated over and over again. And the Democrats have to do that. In a hard and like I said, hit him as hard as you can hit him.
That's right.
Remember,
kick him in the knee.
Kick
him in the other knee.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if that's how they want to play, you want to play like
that's
that, we can play. Floyd Mayweather, right?
That's right.
Fighting that one fight against a guy who wanted to headbutt him after the thing because the guy got all hyped up. You know, wanted to headbutt Floyd, you know, because he thought he was getting some in, and the ref had to come and reprimand him, and said, brought them together. And the guy was like, okay, they touch gloves, keep your hands up at all times, and he still want to give Floyd a hug. It's time to fight. Fight. Boom, boom, you got the combination to the face,
boom.
You got knocked out.
Yes, he did.
And then everyone was mad saying Floyd is a dirty fighter. The dude just did the dude just did the same thing to him. Now it's time to fight.
You.
Now you want to kiss and make up. No, it ain't time to do that. You
right,
did the dirty shit. Boom, it's time
back.
To fight. Boom, boom. Now you get knocked out.
Thank
now
you.
Go home. Get out of here.
Right.
You know, you
thank
can't.
You
see, and
you
if you want to play
get
that game,
respect
then,
when you give
that's
respect.
Right. Thank you. Mm. And it's, and guess what? What's really interesting and what's really the dynamics of all of this is that
we got
the
two
Democrats play that game, as you suggested. The Constitution is on their side. That is the power. That is the base. And they don't have to pervert the Constitution. They just have to make the law, rule of law, the law that is rule. And if they do
exactly.
that, they will
well
win.
Put.
That's a guarantee.
Well put. Either we're going to live by these rules or not.
That's
you
right.
Can't change it when you want. And then just one last thing before we go. I don't know if you guys heard the update that Bloomberg, I heard on one of the channels, maybe it was this afternoon, that Bloomberg, even if he doesn't get the nomination, will be willing to spend a significant amount of money in terms of defeating Trump. Even after the primary, he's committing,
that.
What, 500
oh,
people
okay.
on his staff to work. So, you know,
he's,
that's a great
he's
thing if we all get on
it.
One accord. You know, because one thing that my cousin would tell you is that Bernie Sanders did not campaign as hard for Hillary Clinton as he could have once he didn't get the nomination.
Oh, no.
I will leave it. And we could have been in the office by now. So we'll leave it at that. Brother Byron, go on and give out your send-off to the peoples.
Peace and love always. And remember, you've got the power to make change happen. Use it.
There it is. Brother Byron Saunders, we'll be talking to you next week, sir.
All right, my friend. God bless you all.
Take care. Mr. Wayne Gilman, legendary
newsman.
Hey, man,
I don't know if I can top that, but I will say every step you take, every breath you make, Donald Trump, I'll be watching you.
There it is. That's good enough. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Talk to you next week, Wayne.
All
this
the best.
Been the All right. It's been the K Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Citizen Payne. My mother's on assignment in heaven. We'll talk to you again next week, ladies and gentlemen. Take care. Thanks.